United Flight 93 out of Newark, New Jersey, was the only hijacked plane on September 11th that did not reach its target. When passengers attempted to take control of the cockpit, it went down in a field in Pennsylvania, killing all aboard. For the new film, United 93, director Paul Greengrass uses largely unknown actors and some real pilots, flight attendants, and air traffic controllers to tell the story of the people on that plane and the people on the ground who couldn't help them. David Edelstein has a review.
When the trailer of United 93 was yanked from a couple of New York theaters early this month, there was a lot of talk about Hollywood exploiting the tragedy for profit, about it being too soon to dramatize the events of 9/11, about the pain of being taken back to that horrible place after nearly 5 years. Last Tuesday, I went to United 93's premiere, which was also the opening of New York's Tribeca Film Festival, launched in the wake of 9/11 as a way to bring Lower Manhattan back to life. The families of the people on board Flight 93 were in attendance. They were consultants on the film. They met, in some cases, with the actors who would play their loved ones. And at the end, in the silence that followed the final shot, there was a sound from their section I'd never heard in a theater. The sobbing was heartrending, and yet there seemed in it an element of relief. United 93 was a worthy monument to the people they'd lost. The director, Paul Greengrass, began his career making documentaries and now makes documentary-like dramas. His 2002 film, Bloody Sunday, traces the course of the Northern Irish Civil Rights March of 1972 that ended in a massacre, and it's shot with handheld cameras, like a piece of combat photography. The camera work in United 93 is also handheld, and the movie unfolds in something close to real time. The film is as much journalism as art. It's about how things work, and on this day, how things don't. After a prologue in which four Muslim men pray as the sky lightens outside their cheap motel, Greengrass launches into a torturously mundane, because you know what's coming, section in which crew members and passengers arrive at Newark, where United Airlines Flight 93 would originate. And the day shift begins at the control centers in Boston, New York, and Virginia, the operations base of the Federal Aviation Administration. In the control center sequences after the apparent hijackings, there's a constant hubbub. The racket, the busyness, the swerving camera, everything is moving very fast, but in another sense, in slow motion, because no one knows anything, and there are no clear lines of communication. As Greengrass cuts back and forth between the FAA and the headquarters of the Northeast Air Defense Sector, it's clear the men in charge are helpless. Ben Sliney, the FAA's operations manager, and military commander James Fox play themselves.
Cleveland just called. There's a United 93. The controller heard screams coming from the cockpit.
This is starting to look like a pattern.
Where is that aircraft last known? You know, and which way is he heading? We got to get track information.
He was a Newark to San Francisco flight.
All right. Still on board. Get all the adjacent centers. Notify them in every direction. Keep me advised on Flight 93.
Hey, Ben.
Delta's fine. He's not a hijacked.
Delta's not. Good.
Take him off the board. Delta 1989.
You know what?
Too hot, bro.
Yes. Yes, sir. Four planes. That's all I've got. I can't defend the whole eastern seaboard with four planes.
What do you got?
Washington's on the phone. They said they've got American 77 lost. They just went missing out of Dallas. He's supposed to go to LAX.
This is another one?
What? What did she say?
I've got the call signs yet.
It's heading west, going to LAX. Light me up every track, guys. What do you got?
I don't know how many more there could be in the air, sir, but the point is this. We've got to get them before they're within range of Washington. We've got to get them before they're 60 miles, 50 miles minimum, or we're not going to have a play. We're not going to be able to protect the Capitol.
It's in the context of this chaos that the heroism of United 93's passengers emerges. It was about half an hour between the time the hijackers took the plane and it crashed. In that time, and in the film, it's real time, the passengers realize from cell phone calls that tell them of attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon that rushing the cockpit is their only shot at saving their lives. The movie shows how grueling, how terrifying, how extraordinary that act was in the absence of direction and with the odds overwhelmingly against them. These people, strangers to each other, turned out to be Washington, D.C.'s first and last line of defense. I don't have time to name or praise adequately the actors who play the passengers and flight attendants and who improvised most of their lines. In this film, every actor represents someone real, and every close-up has weight. Mercifully, the murders of the pilots, a passenger, and a flight attendant happen in the margins of the screen. And maybe because we're prepared, that violence is almost easier to bear than the passenger's final cell phone calls home, in many cases, to the people sitting behind me on Tuesday night. With more fictionalized 9/11 movies to come, including one by Oliver Stone, is it too soon? If, like the astounding United 93, these films help us to fill in the gaps in our knowledge, to show us things we could never imagine on our own, then it's not soon enough.
David Edelstein is film critic for New York Magazine.